And the first round of this NFL draft in 2022 is over. Kansas City made two selections in this draft, both a corner and an edge. We will get into that and talk with Matt Derrick about the Chiefs selections in just a moment. This is Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, welcome back for another episode of Locked On Chiefs, your daily podcast covering the Kansas City Chiefs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for always making Locked On Chiefs your first listen of the day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube as well. I am Chris Clark, founder of Chiefs Corner. You can go find my stuff over at Chiefs Corner. This is Matt Derrick. He's going to talk to us about this draft that happened. And by the way, on your second listen, you might go check out the Locked On NFL Draft Show. Ryan's doing a great job over there. And they're still doing a live draft of the second, third, and fourth through seventh rounds in the next couple of days. So be sure to check that out on YouTube. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing pretty well, Chris. I think we're both pretty worn out after a long first round.
It's kind of a late night, isn't it?
That's the way the draft is. We wouldn't have it in any other way, right?
Yeah, something like that, I guess. You know, you look at this draft, and Kansas City needed to address several positions. And you start looking at this draft and what in the way it turned out for Kansas City. Everybody thought they were going to be moving up to get a wide receiver. The problem is the Lions, I think, shocked everybody by moving up to go get the guy that I think Kansas City wanted.
Yeah, just the way that the run on receivers went in the first round, I think certainly changed things a little bit. Mm-hmm. But
Olave at 11, I never saw that coming.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. And the receiver that I thought that the Chiefs, if they were going to move him and go get it, was going to be Jameson Williams. And he goes obviously off the board pretty early as well. And certainly talking to Brett Veach after the first round was over, you know, it didn't seem that going after a receiver in the early portion of the draft was really in the cards for them. I mean, he'd mentioned, you know, about, you know, even getting up to maybe the top 10, 12 would have been thrown a haymaker. And it doesn't look like that was ever really of an interest. If anything, that they wanted to be prepared. If, you know, a player that they had a first round grade on, and remember, I mean, you know, he told us that they generally had 16 to 18 players, you know, graded in the first round, that if one of those players started to fall, that's when they would get interested. And obviously that's exactly what happened in the first round.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because the Trent McDuffie selection at 21 overall was a big surprise to me, not necessarily because of the position or the play. Well, not because of the position, but because of the stature of the player, the length of the player, and the height of the player. He doesn't really fit the mold of what they've usually looked at in a corner.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was one of the reasons why he wasn't necessarily high on my fits, you know, as far as the Chiefs go. Now, granted, he's a very good corner. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, right. and Andy Reid, you know, ticked off the reasons why, you know, they love the guy. I mean, his tape is great. He's a smart player. And most importantly, and the reason why, you know, that they felt comfortable making a selection like this, they feel like he's a good person. And both, you know, him and George Karloftis, it's a cliche, but they both won the press conference talking to us after their selections. It's clear. I mean, you know, McDuffie it's easy to see why the Chiefs fell in love with him. And, you know, and these were both guys that they did not bring in for top 30 visits. They just spoke with him, and Brett Veach said, hey, it was clear that with McDuffie, that he ticked all the boxes. This wasn't a guy that you needed to bring in and have a longer conversation with to get into his personality or anything. And let's face it, I mean, that's one of the things that the Chiefs look for to fit in a corner. Yes, they would love to have a long, lean guy who's, you know, pushing 6 feet, that's going to have a long wingspan. And that is not McDuffie. I mean, he's on the shorter side of both those sticks, but he's got a ton of production. He's got great tape. But most importantly, he's humble. I mean, he's not a diva. And that's what sometimes, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, to be a fit, especially in the Chiefs defense where the cornerbacks are not the stars.
Especially a CB. I mean, that's not normally their type of attitude. But I will say, you know, you look at Dane Brugler's draft guide, who I think does a fantastic job. He had him ranked as his number 12 prospect. You start looking, you know, Ryan had him as a top as a top 20 type player. So I get the fit. I get the fit that direction. And I understand he was the number three corner on a lot of people's boards. And I don't mind the pick. It just was throwing me off because the length wasn't there. The height's not there. But you start looking at his production that he's had at Washington. He hasn't allowed a touchdown in 2 years. His completion percentage is ridiculous. He is happy to go after the running back and actually play in the run game, play defense in the run game. And that's a huge thing that Kansas City has needed in a corner for a very long time. I'm not saying their corners don't do it now, but we all know that there's been corners in the past that haven't. And that really hurt run defense, which has never been good in Kansas City to begin with.
Yeah, you know, and Andy Reid was asked about, you know, the height issue, and he said, hey, he's big enough. And that's probably, you know, one of the things that when we talk about the Chiefs and they do like these long and lengthy corners, honestly, I mean, that probably one of the reasons why Brett Veach likes that is that he is usually mining guys who maybe don't have the physical talents and maybe don't have the high-end reactions of, you know, top corners. And therefore, they have to have that length in order to compete and to catch up. I mean, if you are
make up for the differences.
Yeah, if you're a fraction of a second slower with speed or your reaction time, you need that extra inch in order to be able to break up passes and to be in contention. McDuffie's a guy that doesn't need that. I mean, he doesn't need that length in order to contest the ball. That's what, you know, really, you know, stands on his film, the evaluators like, is that he's got great reaction time. He's quick. He may not be the fastest guy, but he's certainly quick. And you're right. I mean, a lot of the things you hear about him, I mean, it makes you think of L'Jarius Sneed, because both these guys are physical corners. They're not afraid to get up on the line of scrimmage. They're not afraid to play in the run game. And that's what Steve Spagnuolo needs. I mean, that's the way that the Chiefs play defense and the way they have built their roster, that's what they needed, a corner.
And now they have three corners that can play inside and out. Fenton isn't necessarily the typical inside corner, but he can play inside. They've had him play inside at times. L'Jarius Sneed is very good playing inside. Now McDuffie can play inside. So now they have three guys that can go both outside and inside. I think that's really going to help this defense. And when we get back, we're going to talk about George Karlaftis in this draft pick, because that was a little surprising to me as well. But I do want to tell you about our friends over at Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 mils are donated to the fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays, exclusively for our listeners. Head to ShadyRays.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code locked on for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. And as you can see, I've got my Shady Rays on and Chiefs colors nonetheless. George Karlaftis was a surprising pick to me. Not necessarily because of the position, but the fit in the system and the lack of bend on the edge. But you said he won the hearts of the people in the interview room afterwards. Tell us what you garnered from that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one word, or at least a version of a word that you consistently heard from George himself, from Andy Reid, from Brett Veach, was relentless. That's his style of play. And that's what, you know, the Chiefs are getting, is they're getting a guy who is relentless. Is he the fastest guy? Is he the quickest guy? No, I don't know that he is. He certainly has some power, and that's the way that he's going to go after the quarterback. And that's the way he's going to beat people, is with power. It's made him successful against the run, but I'm with you. I mean, once again, this is a player who for the position is a little bit undersized from what the Chiefs generally are looking for. He doesn't have necessarily the athleticism and the bend, like you said, that the Chiefs once again normally go for in that position. But he's a different style, and my concern with it, is the production has not really been there. I mean, he had 5 sacks last year, 11 and a half tackles for a loss. Those are good, you know. Hey, those are good numbers for a tackle for a loss. But you know, the sack numbers are the ones that haven't really been there, and
the sack
production
numbers
is a question.
Yeah, the sack number is something that you have to definitely be concerned about. The one thing I will say is he was number two in his conference. I apologize for spacing on the conference that he played in. But he was number two in that conference in pressures. Didn't get the sacks, but got the pressures. So he was behind Aiden Hutchinson in that conference. So there is production of that type. It's just not actually bringing the quarterback down. That's something that's going to be even harder to do at the NFL level because that fraction of a second is going to get even wider. So if you're not getting sacks at the college level, the question is are those pressures going to turn into maybe just hurries and not real pressures? It's a great question, and it's something that they're going to have to worry about. And he also has short arms for the position, and that's a bigger issue when you're a power guy and you're not using your ability to bend around the edge. Having short arms, if you get locked up with a long arm tackle that has the power to hold you off, you're going to be in trouble, and that's not going to be good for Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly questions there. Now, the Chiefs are betting on the idea that since this is a guy that was a latecomer to football, I mean, he grew up in Greece,
right.
Moved over here when he was 14. He started playing football about 6 years ago. The general perception, you know, from his college coaches and what the Chiefs are seeing is that his best football is still to come and that he's just going to continue to get better and better. I mean, the Chiefs have had, you know, some success with taking some guys who are late bloomers. Charvarius Ward was absolutely a late bloomer. Karlaftis, he's still 21. I mean, remember, he left school early. Even once again, playing in college during the pandemic era has certainly limited even his experience at the college level a little bit. So the Chiefs are certain, I mean, to a large degree, are betting on the upside of this player. They're not banking on the production that he's had to this point because, honestly, I mean, it's not been there.
It's underwhelming.
But they feel like with coaching, with more experience, that he is going to continue to get better and better.
Yep. It's underwhelming. His production has been underwhelming to this point, but I agree with you. I think that's what they're betting on. And I will say what I do like about both these picks is they're 21 years old. Both of them are young players. So if you look at it in that perspective, the question becomes, and obviously we have a long way before we get there, but if they come in and they play well, they're going to be 26 when their contract is up. If you give them the 5-year option, that is a great age to be giving somebody a second contract as opposed to somebody that comes in at 23 or 24 and maybe you just get them for that first contract. So I do think that this is going to help them in the future. And maybe the key here is you have to look at this position and know that you're probably not going to get a huge edge rusher at 30. And that's a problem. I mean, you're never going to get probably a guy like I guess you can get a Frank Clark because he wasn't drafted in the first round. But my point is you're not going to get one of those top three type guys at 30. So knowing that, this is the type of edge rusher you can get. And the question becomes is, can he be that edge two in the future? Not necessarily an edge one, because I don't know that he has the bend to be able to turn into an edge one, but we'll see.
Yeah, and where the Chiefs had Karlaftis, I mean, on their board clearly, I mean, whereas McDuffie was certainly in that conversation as a first-round pick and a player that you can go get, I mean, Karlaftis was in that next group down that would have been more of late first, early second, but you have a second-round grade on. And the Chiefs had some calls. I mean, Brett Veach told us that they did have an offer to move out of that number 30 pick. It would have been moving back a little bit further into the second round than they were comfortable with, to a point where if they wanted to circle back and get Karlaftis, which at that point, that was their pick. I mean, they wouldn't have gone with Jermaine Johnson. You know, this was who they wanted. They were hoping would fall to them at 30. But they didn't think that if they made that trade that he would still be available at that spot. So then they would have to make another trade to move back up into the second round and get him. So even though this is a player that, you know, the Chiefs probably would certainly say the Chiefs had a second round grade on George Karlaftis, and they're getting him at number 30. We've been talking for the last few weeks. That's the challenge when you're drafting in the late part of the first round. You can't always get value. Yep. But in the Chiefs case, I mean, they feel like they got a player whom to them was the best edge rusher available on the board. It's somebody with a lot of upside, and hey, if he lives up to that, you know, promise and everything like that, then yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, you're getting a player that is young, and I think that's another interesting point that probably is worth noting going forward in this draft is that this is a class that's older than a lot of draft classes because of the COVID opt-outs and everything, and yet she still went with two players who are 21.
Right.
That's telling me that they're probably not going to be looking. Maybe they'll widen their reach a little bit in the later rounds where you get to some of the older players. But I think they're still going to be looking for those younger guys with the bigger upside.
Well, and you're also looking at a different situation. Once you get into, you know, the second round, then it's just a four-year contract versus a potential five-year contract in the first. And the other thing that really sticks out to me is they went premium positions in the first round, which means that if they are in a situation where in 3 years they have to decide if they want to pick up the fifth-year option on these guys, it's going to be expensive, but it's going to still be cheaper than signing somebody of their ilk on, or, you know, somebody of their value on the open market if they're playing well and for their position. So I think that's a big plus as well.
Yeah, if these guys live up to your expectations for them, then yeah, the fifth-year options will be cheaper than what, you know, you would be paying them in a free agent era. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, as far as giving a guy a second contract at 26, you know, then you can give, if he works out, you're giving him a second contract that'll make him to take him to 29, no more than that. And then you're getting to do which is what clearly the Chiefs do not want to go going forward, which is paying anybody into their 30s.
Yep. Well, and then there's still questions whether or not they're going to be paying somebody into their 30s. We can talk about that a little bit later on after that the draft process, probably, because that's not going to be something they're going to do here. When we get back, though, I do want to talk about the second round, what Kansas City could be looking at doing there. And just to throw out what they did trade for Trent McDuffie, since I didn't mention it earlier, they traded the 94 and the 121 picks. So they are down to two second rounders, one third rounder, and one fourth rounder, and then four seventh round picks. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the wide receiver class. Let me tell you first about our friends over at Built Bar. Summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you're refueled for summer adventures. All Built Bars and Puffs are 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy it. If that's not enough flavor for you, then you might try a mixed box. The mixed box comes with 12 flavors of bars and puffs. Lots of different choices that you can go with in that sense. Built Bar makes sure that there's something for everyone. Know what my favorite flavor is? It's probably actually cherry and key lime. That's actually a really good Built Bar flavor. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into the second round and the third round, because that's what's coming up in the draft. And I guess we don't really have to talk about the wide receivers, but I think that's where Kansas City is going to be focusing, at least in the second and third round, is trying to figure out how to add to that room.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly at least the conventional wisdom. I mean, you know, especially with this draft class. I mean, what's going to be interesting to me is, you know, they've got two picks left in the second round, 50 and 62. And Brett Veach has mentioned, I mean, hey, 30 to 60 is kind of the sweet spot, which means he's got one of those picks in the sweet spot. And at 62, you're going to be banking on the idea that maybe a player that you like will drop to you, or you're going to move up and try to enhance that pick a little bit. That's where the seventh round picks could certainly have come in handy. I mean, even if it's moving up one or two spots, I mean, that could be a big deal to get the player that you want. Wide receiver in particular, I mean, I think you're probably looking, generally a consensus would be that there's maybe four or five receivers left that are of that second round caliber quality. The one that I think obviously is of the most interest is George Pickens. Hey, he's a guy that I thought there was a possibility the Chiefs could even take at 29 and 30. But that was with the notion that probably the edge and the corners that they wanted weren't going to be there. That worked out in the Chiefs' favor. The guys that they wanted were absolutely there. Now it's going to be, hey, you know, can you make it to 50? That's 18 more picks, four or five receivers that are in that next group. I mean, it's going to be tight, but but once again, I think it's the same similar situation to what the Chiefs were going into on Thursday night. If there's a player that you like and they continue to drop, you may have to be aggressive and make the move to go get them.
So if we start looking at the wide receivers that are left, you have Christian Watson, Sky Moore, George Pickens, Jalen Tolbert, John Metchie, And that's probably going to be your sweet spot. You're probably looking about those five guys are going to be your second round receivers. And I will say this, I kind of talked to I talked to the Locked On show about this when I was doing some stuff earlier. I'm worried that there's going to be a run on wide receivers in the 40s because everybody knows Kansas City is going to be looking for a wide receiver. So I think they're going to have to move up if they want to go get whoever they want in the 40s.
Yeah, and there's gonna be a few other teams too that are interested in receivers, especially Green Bay is absolutely should be one of them. I'm surprised they didn't walk away with a receiver on Thursday night, and with
it would have been a huge reach. That's the problem.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, there are a lot of teams moved receivers around on Thursday night. There's been a lot of activity in free agency. So, hey, the market about who's looking for a receiver and who's not looking for a receiver has continued to change. So, yeah, I'm really curious. I'm with you. I mean, I think that there could certainly be a kind of a quick run on receivers there because you're right. I mean, there's a pocket there in the second round, and then I think you probably even get into a pocket where the third round receivers that are going to be available are probably not the greatest crop, but then you get into the fourth round and that's where there might be actually a little bit of value. And certainly the Chiefs have had a wide range of receivers in, you know, that have been a part of their top 30 visits and that they've spoken to. So they've kicked the tires on receivers from every round from 1 to 7. But they've kicked a lot on, you know, 2, 3, and 4. So once again, even if they don't get a receiver in the second or third round, there are still names that would be in play in the fourth round that I think they're interested in.
I will say I'll be surprised if they don't come out of the second, third round with a wide receiver in this class, just because I think that they've done so much work on this class. I think that they're going to be trading up and trying to get somebody that they want. Just looking really quickly at round two, teams that could be maybe looking for a wide receiver. You have the Texans, maybe the Jets already took one, maybe the Bears. The Seahawks have two picks at 40 and 41. You have to think that maybe they're going to be trading out of one of those picks. You know, the Falcons, there's a question whether or not they could still use another receiver, even though they went and got Drake London. I mean, how crazy was it to see all those receivers to go by 18? And Jahan Dotson went at 16, which just floors me.
Yeah, the especially the order of some of those receivers kind of baffled me a little bit. Right. A few of them went maybe earlier than expected, but yeah, I didn't think there would be that kind of rush on receivers. I mean, obviously, hey, the benefit to the Chiefs was that it meant that some teams were overlooking edge and corner. I mean, most of the mock board drafts and the boards that I saw before the draft never would have had McDuffie available past 20. And most places, Karlaftis not available probably past 25. So,
right,
you know, the fact that even though, honestly, talking to Brent Veach afterwards, and even what he said last week, I didn't get the sense that, you know, going after a receiver in the first round was ever really something that they entertained that seriously, that it was more of a, hey, if the right player drops to the right spot, they were going to be ready. And it didn't have to be a receiver. In this case, it was a corner and they did it. I mean, hey, in a different multiverse, maybe they do move up to 21 and they get a receiver. But the way this draft unfolded, I think it came to them the way they want. I mean, the other thing that could work into the second round, remember, is that there's only one quarterback off the board. There's going to be a couple more quarterbacks go. There's some teams looking for them. So maybe that helps, you know, to keep the rush from receivers going. So, but right now, I mean, looking at it, to me, receiver is the richest position group remaining in the second round.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that they're going to have to take it into consideration when they start the second round. They're picking 18th in the second round, 50 overall. So what other positions other than wide receiver do you think that they could be looking in the second and third rounds?
Honestly, outside of quarterback, any and everything. Maybe you throw running back in there too, because I think if the Chiefs take a flyer on running back in this draft, it'll be in the seventh round or as a free agent. Right. But they need depth everywhere. And once you start getting to this point in the draft, I mean, hey, in the first round, they wanted impact players. They wanted players that they felt could come in and play immediately. you start getting into the second, third, and fourth rounds, and that doesn't become the biggest priority. I mean, there's certainly some places, receiver being one of them, where you'd like somebody that could come in and contribute. But honestly, I mean, the Chiefs need depth at defensive tackle, linebacker, safety, tackle, edge. Offensive tackle. They could certainly use another edge. I mean, probably even use another corner. I mean,
I was thinking that too.
The number of positions that they just need more depth is long and lengthy. I mean, they addressed their two biggest needs on defense by far. I think that Chiefs fans and outside observers, I think probably rate their need for a receiver greater than the Chiefs do. Doesn't mean they're not going to address it, but you know, I think that, especially, you know, when it came to the first round, I think that we probably overestimated how important that was to Brett Veach and the Chiefs. I still think it's possible, but once again, I mean, they except for quarterback and running back, it would not surprise me if they took any position in the second and third round.
Yeah. And there could be value there at a position like tight end, which a lot of people would be questioning why you would take that in the second or third round. If you can get the best tight end in the draft late in the third round, I don't know why you wouldn't do it. If it's a guy that you think can step in and take pressure off of Travis Kelce, you can maybe elongate Travis Kelce's career, and there's huge value in that. So I agree with you. I think they can go any position. I'm not going to be upset if they double dip at edge. I'm not going to be upset if they double dip at corner. And if they end up getting a wide receiver and they take two wide receivers, I'm not going to be upset. I think that there's all these different positions that they could take. The only place I really don't see them going in the second and third is probably going to be, like you said, QB, running back, and I guess I would throw out interior offensive line. Tackle wouldn't shock me, though. I think that they do want to have a good group in front of Mahomes, and I think that that could be something that they would look at if somebody fell. So I do think that's a possibility. Anything else you want to throw out there, Matt?
I think we've hit a lot of it. I mean, there's certainly some interesting names remaining that are out there. And like I said, I mean, it certainly wouldn't surprise me, especially with the seventh round picks, if the Chiefs didn't try to improve their standing in the second round. Let's see what happens. Should be an exciting night. And, you know, Brett Veach told us tonight that, you know, he and his staff, you know, they enjoy Friday night and Saturday even more than they enjoy Thursday. So they've got three picks to play with. It should be an interesting night.
Thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate it. We will be back tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have Matt come back as well, if I can wrangle him in here again after the third round is over, to talk to you more about this draft. So it's going to be a bonus episode, so be looking for that. Like I said, go check out the Locked On NFL Draft on YouTube. They are doing a live stream of every single pick. It'll start, I think, about an hour before the NFL Draft starts on Friday, and they'll be doing the same thing on Saturday. So be sure to check that out. Thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you tomorrow.